That's Brannick.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Rabbi Bieberfeld. With your rishus, Rabbi Zephron. Baruch shechiyana v'kiyamana v'giyana l'azman hazeh. 34 years I'm darshaning in public. I've never spoken in Philadelphia. Really. I'm really excited to be here. I will not say that it was easy. It's if you're not used to it, it's not an easy drive to come to Philadelphia, unless maybe I just didn't know the right way to go. It could be. But it's worth it. You make it worth it. Coming out on a weeknight with sliches early in the morning, I really appreciate it. And I'm going to try, with the help of Hashem, to make it worthwhile for you. All we have to do to take Rosh Hashanah seriously is to look back at the past year and see what happened. Probably the most gut-wrenching event that happened in the Jewish world was the death of the 7 Sassoon children in a horrific fire. A family to lose 7 children. Just like that. To bury 7 small coffins. The tragedy in Arizona with the Beis Yaakov girls. Just this week, a captain of Hatzalah, his wife, and their chassan, a hero from 9/11, he was decorated. He broke an ankle saving people's lives at the Twin Towers. Just like that. Leaving on Labor Day, summer vacation, on Route 17, a road that hundreds of thousands of Jews travel regularly for summer vacation. Just moments, an entire family, husband, wife, chassan, gone. Not gone, they're in Shemayim, but gone for us. It's very serious stuff, this mi yichya u mi yamas. It's been asked that the Yerushalmi says that we say Meya Kolos. Right? The rabbi makes an announcement. No talking until the last tekiyas. After Musaf. It's a strange origin, the 100 notes of the shofar. Do we learn it out from a pasuk? Do we learn it out from a gematria? No, we learn it out from the mother of Sisra. That's like saying that we learn it out from the mother of Eichmann. Because she was waiting for her son, the great champion Sisra, to come back from battle. And when she saw he was not coming, she cried 100 cries. And that's where we know we blow 100 sounds. Quite strange. If I tell you that the mom of Hitler cried when she heard he committed suicide, and we're going to make 100 notes in shul because of it, you'll say, what? But it's Yerushalmi. It's much talked about. Why it is. Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein, the great Bal Musa, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Schussi Yogan Aleinu, says an interesting idea. He says that they were telling her, don't worry, he's delayed. What are you worried about? What are you worried about? He's fighting the Jews. Jews don't even have an army. says that Sisera went against us with 900 Rechav Barzel. 900 iron chariots. Jews didn't have one iron chariot. It's like, Chas v'Shalom, the American army coming to attack the Philadelphia Kailo. I mean, that's what it was. The Jews didn't have an army. He had 900 chariots. They said he's delaying because he's picking the choicest booty. But she wasn't confident. She wasn't confident. Says Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein. Person says, I'm in the best of health. I'm young. We blow 100 kilos. Don't be confident. Get moving. Get cracking. Who in their time of me loy bekitzai? And who not in their time? Who will live and who will die? So, we come together to see what we could do that Hashem should renew our lease. He should give us another contract. What should we do? So I'm going to try with the help of Hashem to give you some advice. The first thing, the very first thing, is before looking ahead, let's take a moment to look back. Everybody thinks, okay, new year, we gotta ask, we need this, we need that, we want this, we want that. What about saying thank you for last year? We gathered, the men for sure, some women perhaps, Motzei Shabbos Slichos, or early in the morning Sunday, and the chorus that we said was Lishmo El Arena V'Yela Tfila, to hear the song and the petition. Before the petition comes song. Thank you, Hashem. I didn't go to the hospital this year. Don't take that for granted. Thank you, Hashem. My breathing was good. I slept. And if all your children are doing well, thank you, Hashem, for nachas. You're able to pay the bills, the rent, the mortgage? Oh, thank you, Hashem, I have a roof over my head. Because Hashem says, when I see that you appreciate it, it's a pleasure doing business with you. That's the first thing. You know, when you do something for a child, and the child doesn't appreciate it, just ask for more, 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 it leaves a bad taste in our mouth. Child comes, you know, I don't take it for granted. Whoa. The Chovetz Chavos says a golden rule. Devarim sheroitzim lahasmid ba. Things that you want to continue, al tiftach ba. Don't take them for granted. Somebody says, well, marriage, I don't have to pray for. I got a great marriage. Oh, don't take that for granted. Marriages could change overnight. I had a case where a woman had a jogging partner. And every morning they would go out to jog. It's good for your health. An hour. And this woman started telling her, you know, you're such an accomplished woman. I've always wondered, how did you end up with such a dud of a husband? This is a true story. Talk about Lashon Hara, Lamed Hey, go to Gehenna the easy way. That's what they taught us in school. Lashon Hara, Lamed Hey, go to Gehenna the easy way. I grew up on that. It's not a bad thing. I see it didn't make it to Philly. Well, now it did. It's arrived. Took me 34 years to get it here. It's really, really amazing. It's one of the last places. You know, I haven't flown in 9 years. I used to fly Then I had an incident. Maybe another time I'll tell you about it. It's not for now. I haven't flown. But anywhere within my reach in the car, I've come oodles of times. And I've never been here. Mamish never been here. One time, if somebody is dynamic, should set up that I should come here and speak in all the schools and everything, and make a whole speaking circuit of it. But I asked the rabbi if there's anywhere I could go afterwards. He said, there's nowhere else to go over afterwards. Okay. So this woman started saying, every morning she would say, yeah, I always thought you could do better. And like a poison, like a venom, it crept in. And it ripped apart their marriage. Can't take anything for granted. Can't take anything. We have to say thank you that I have a spouse. You know how many people? I had a Talmud, I have a Talmud, but he told me he was divorced, his wife left him for a guy, for a Gentile, and he was alone for 15 years. And he told me that if not that he was a religious Jew, he would call Dr. Kevorkian of not so blessed memory. He would call Dr. Kevorkian to put him out of his misery. The loneliness was so terrible. A lot of people in this country commit suicide because of loneliness. You're not lonely? Adank the Eibishter! I remember the Rosh Yeshiva, the venerable Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva of Brooklyn, that great Marbitz Torah of Manas Mandel, once told me, Adank, in Yiddish, Adank, his bigamatria is the numerical value of Olam Haba. Adank means, in Yiddish, I thank you, is in gematria, which is the numerical value of the letters, equals afterlife. So therefore, from now to Rosh Hashanah, make your modim in Shmona Esrei meal meaningful. Thank you. Rav Miller, Rav Avigdor Miller, of blessed memory, Rav Avigdor Miller used to say, a great way to enhance your Shmona Esrei, your silent devotion, your daily prayer, is to think beforehand, what can I thank God for in this Shmona Esrei in Modim? Before you say Shmona Esrei. Well, I stopped at the cafe and, I had a good cinnamon bun. Feels I'm not going to bother God with a cinnamon bun. No, there's nothing wrong with that. I parked over here and I had a coin in my pocket for the meter. Or I found parking. Modim. Don't trivialize that. You're thinking before you daven. You're way ahead, light years ahead of most people. And thank you. I have to tell you, thank you is an elixir of life. We voice this all the time. We say to Hashem from Tehillim, from the Psalms, Ma betzabidami beriditi al shachas. What profit is there in my blood if I go down to the pit? Hayotcha afar? Will the earth thank you? Hayagid amitecha? Will it relate your truth? Shma Hashem, listen Hashem, chaneni, give me a freebie. Chaneni means free. Chinam. Give me a freebie, I don't deserve it. I don't do enough. But Shma Hashem, chaneni. Hashem, hayoizeli, be a helper for me. Why? What right do I have? Leman yizamercha chavod, because I'm going to sing about your glory. Velo yidaim, I won't be silent. Hashem alekai la'olam ha'idek. Hashem, my God, I'll always thank you. Thank you is a reason to exist. In the communal thank you that we say, the men say, when they come to shul, the modim derabanan, we thank God. Al shehechi yisonu v'kiyamtonu. He gives us life. He establishes us. And then we're bold to say, let it continue. Let life continue. Not just life, but we should be established. With what merit? Everybody wants that. What merit? Al shanachnu moedim lach. According to Ramosha, you bow down even at the end by al shanachnu moedim lach. Ramosha bowed down full by the al shanachnu moedim lach. By the way, nowadays I realize more than a quarter century after the passing of Ramosha, I have to say, I've been asked in public, you mean Ramosha Wolfson? You mean Ramosha Sternbach? It's already that long. But for me, Ramosha is my Rebbe, Ramosha Feinstein. Our generation, there was only one Rav Moshe. Not to belittle the other Rav Moshe, the great, great, great people. But Rav Moshe would, I remember he would bow down with such feeling. Al shanachnu moedim lach. But we're saying, if we thank Hashem, that's a reason to exist. So therefore, the first thing is, before we get further, before we get to the petitions, l'shmoa el arina, let's show we're grateful. In our benching, Azanes Hakol, in our brachos, the next step, I believe, is as follows. You'll excuse me, I'm going to take a drink. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Ni'eh B'dvaro. The next thing is as follows. We don't just want another year. We want a better year. We want a better year. Better health. Better livelihood. Better nachas. Better, 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 better. We want better, better friends. Better everything. So Hashem tells us, God tells us, sure. I got an infinite storehouse of goodies. You can't imagine what I got up there. Just tell me how you're going to be better. After all, it's only fair, it's only equitable, it's a quid pro quo arrangement. We want better, we have to do better. And therefore, we have to, about his pictures, we have to, what I believe, is make a to-do-better list. Every Mazer, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, should have in it a to-do-better list. How I'm going to be better the coming year. That way we could daven, Hashem, here's the deal. I'd like a better year. This is the way I'm going to be better. Now, that's not as simple as it sounds. How do you make it to do better list? So you do the painful job of making a cheshbon hanefesh. Cheshbon hanefesh is something that most of us don't do. Cheshbon hanefesh means a personal accounting. Now, you know, on the Verrazano Bridge, I live in Staten Island, so every day I travel the Verrazano Bridge at least once a day. There's a sign. People, with rabbinical eyes, you notice these things. There's a sign on the bridge, life is good, don't give it up. The reason why that sign is there is because people jump off the bridge on a regular basis. Now, I have to tell you that if Hashem would have not made a safety mechanism that we don't see our own flaws. You ever notice you see everybody else's flaws? We're very good at that. Oh, this one's full of himself. This one is really not concentrating on his davening. This one is so self-centered. This one is such a show-off. He's always talking about clothes. Always talking about business. Why don't we notice about ourselves? Hashem made us Teflon-coated. That ain adam ro'eh nigei atzma. We don't see our own faults. Because if we did, you think now people are on Prozac? Now, Baruch Hashem for Prozac. You laugh, but Baruch Hashem for all these medicines. Baruch Hashem. And people that need it, it's not any different than somebody that needs an antibiotic. Baruch Hashem, we have these medicines. People think mental health is different. It's not. Baruch Hashem. But I'll tell you, everybody would be on the medicines if they would see their own faults all the time. So Hashem gave us a coding that we don't see it, so we can go on, that we can have a healthy ego. But once a year, before Rosh Hashanah, we have to crash through the barrier and take an honest look at ourselves. Now, how do we do that? What's the procedure? It's really very simple. You start from Maida Ani in the morning to Kriyashma Alamita. The Kriyashma that accompanies us in bed in the night. And see how you're doing. So you'll say, yikes, I don't say my daddy. Don't worry. That's going to go on your to-do better list. That's going to go on your to-do better list. I am not going to get up like a guy anymore. You don't say my daddy in the morning, you're getting up like a guy. A guy gets up. Eyes aren't open yet, he's fiddles for the radio. What did the Mets and Yankees do? What did Philadelphia Phillies, what did you have over here? What did the Phillies do? Right? What did the Dow Jones, did it plummet another 600 points? What's the Nikkei going up in China? What's a, that's how a guy, a Jew, realizes that you're fresh in the morning and says thank you to God. That's the first thing that a Jew does. It's very, that's a very important thing. Starting the day like a Jew. That's a big thing. So if you don't do it, don't fret. That goes on your to-do better list. I'm going to make sure that the very first thing that I do is my dining. And you go through your morning. Step by step. We get up in the morning. We have a ruach tumah, a spirit of tumah, of contamination, on our hands. Women, especially, should be very aware of this. Because if you don't wash your hands properly, you are contaminating the food that you serve your family. You're touching the orifices of children, and you're hurting them. But it's not just women. You know, there was a time in between the Chofetz Chaim and Reb Chaim Isaac Gadzinski, then afterwards Reb Moshe, Reb Aaron, Stipler. There was a time that the Gadol Hador b'Yisrael was the Chazon Ish. I mean, the Chazon Ish, Zecher Tzadik L'Vrach, Zchus Yagen Aleinu, the Chazon Ish, there's a story that tells it all. Somebody once came to him with an inoperable brain tumor. Lo yaleinu, Rachmana Litzlan. And he told the Chazon Ish that the doctor said there's no hope. So he took out a piece of paper. This is before the days of CAT scans, before the days of MRIs. Took out a piece of paper, drew a picture of the man's head, just a circle, made an arrow, pointed to it, and said the doctor should operate right there. And they did. And he lived for many years. That picture hangs in a museum in Eretz Yisrael. That's Soid Hashem L'Yareyev, the secrets of God are to those that fear Him. When a person came to the Chazon Ish with problems of depression, one of the very first things that the Chazon Ish asked was how he washed his hands in the morning. Because the Mishnah Berurah says, Chafetz Chaim was just his yahrzeit. Zecher Tzadik L'Vracha, Zchus Yagen Aleinu. The Mishnah Berurah says that the Ruach Tumah on hands, if you're a Talmud Chacham, it causes you to forget your learning. If you're a Torah sage, it causes you to forget your learning. And if you're not, it causes you to be depressed. So here's a person, he's making a to-do better list. How do I wash my hands in the morning? So he goes, oh, it's not so complicated. That's it. You have to know how to do it. You know, there are people, they go to the faucet, and they go like this. But you don't touch the tap. You gotta wash. wash your hands to the wrist. This is an important thing. Now you take the cup in your right hand. You pass it to your left hand. That's already, you see? You don't take it in your right hand to wash your left hand, because we do always do start things with the right. You take your cup in the right hand. You pass it to your left hand. You wash your right. Till the wrist. The pajamas is in the way. I'm cold. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's worth it. Thank you. You wash your right, your left, your right, your left, your right, your left. Three times alternately. Now, that's okay. But then there's extra credit. Extra credit. You see, after the only time we make a bracha on Latilsi Yadayim without eating bread is in the morning, if it's the last time we're washing before our shachris. So we make an on Latilsi Yadayim. So you don't want to dry your hands in the bathroom. Because if you dry your hands in the bathroom, it's a problem. You want to make the on Latilsi Yadayim before. But if I don't dry my hands, but I want to wash my face. You're washing your face. You'll say, so I won't wash my face. Now, washing your face, it's not just a nice thing to do. First of all, washing your face before davening is a fulfillment of Hikun Likras Elikecha Yisrael. Prepare to greet Hashem. It's a big thing to prepare to greet Hashem. I remember once in Muncie, a boy came to Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky to his minyan on Purim, dressed up in a big bird costume. You know, with the big beak. I think I saw on the way here Sesame Place. Is that Sesame Place? Oh, it is. So you know Big Bird then. Right? So Big Bird, he was just going to hold the whole big yellow thing and the big beak. And Yaakov looked at him. He was going to daven mincha that way. Yaakov looked him up and down. Epis felt von hikon likras alekecha Yisrael. Something is missing for preparing to meet your God. Yaakov said, in his beautiful way. But you know, when you wash your face in the morning, if you're married and you're washing to look nice for your spouse, that's also important. But there's another thing. You know, in the days of Napoleon, every person had to have a bust of Napoleon deposited prominently in the main room of the house. And the bust had to be kept clean. It had to be polished like the Leichter. And there would be inspections. If the bust wasn't polished, you got a summons. If it happened a few times, you spent the day in jail. The face, the Medrash says, is a bust of God. Because we're at Tzelem Elokim, an image of God. So when we wash our face, we're polishing the bust of Hashem. Now you don't want to wash your face with water that's still tamei. So therefore, we have the custom to do it a fourth time. And then, now you're ready. Now you wash your face, you want to gargle a little bit because your throat is going to say Hashem's name. Right? Now you're ready. You come out and you make your Amatilis Yadayim. You make your Asher Yatzar. You make your Elokei Neshama. You couldn't say the second part of Modani Reishis Chokma because it has Hashem's name, and you could see Modani, we could say it doesn't have Hashem's name. So we could say that even when our hands are tamei. Let me say Reishis Chokma. We flush the toilet of the bathroom. Flushing the toilet of the bathroom is not just good manners. Flushing the toilet is a mitzvah d'oraisa. Did you know that? It's a beferish a mitzvah d'oraisa to flush the toilet. So I must have missed that pasuk. Oh, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. You know what the mitzvah d'oraisa is? It's a simple fulfillment of your hafta l'reyacha kameicha. Love your fellow man like yourself. You know how you recoil if you walk in the bathroom and there's stuff in the toilet? So why should somebody else have that with you? When you flush the toilet, you'll be mekayim v'hafta l'reyacha kameicha. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa. You come out of the bathroom, you put on your tallis cotton. Now, if you're going to right away to shul, so maybe you won't make a bracha on it. If you're married and you have a tallis cotton, the boys for sure, you put on the tallis Cotton, you make a bracha. Right? Then, you get dressed. Now, if you get dressed like a Jew, then you put your right hand into the shirt before the left hand, the right foot before the left foot. There's ways to get dressed. The only exception, at least for men, for women it's a machlokes, but at least for men, you put on the right shoe, the left shoe, you tie the left shoe, and then you tie the right shoe. There we do the left first, we give cover to the left by tying, because of the tefillin which is on the left. You'll say, Rabbi Weiss, you know, you came to Philadelphia. Give us something meaty. How you get dressed in the morning is very significant. Our literature is literally full of stories of people whose lives were changed because they knew how to dress. I'm going to tell you one story, just one story. There really isn't much time because I came to Philadelphia. I haven't come for 34 years. So nobody told me when I'm going to stop, so I'm planning to speak now for 24 hours. You bring the people in and shifts, you know. It brings me to a recollection that's over 30 years ago. My Rebbetzin and I were newly minted Rabbanim and Rav and Rebbetzin. We were asked by the Aguda to go behind the Iron Curtain, and they wanted me to give shir around the clock there, not to people but to teachers and manhigim. And at that time we had, I think it was three babies. And the Aguda said, we'll take care of your three children. Just go to Russia for 2 weeks. And I almost did it. What happened is the last minute they told me that there's another part of the mission. They wanted me to take two blocks of cheese, and in the box of cheese would be four chalifs, four shchita knives, because they didn't have shchita knives in Russia. They wanted me to smuggle in shchita knives. So I said, let me get this straight. You want me to leave my three babies, go behind the Iron Curtain with knives and blocks of cheese? Yeah. That was a little tidbit that they forgot to tell me. Is it is no way I'm leaving my children and taking knives behind the Iron Curtain. And I said, the main thing is to teach. No, the sponsor said you have to do this. I didn't go. There's no way. I always wondered about it, you know. I didn't go. You know who did go? Instead of me, Rav David Cohn went. He was older. His children were older. He got back. He made it back. Anyway, I just triggered the memory of that when I said teaching around the clock. But anyway, so you should know I'm serious about the 24 hours. There's one story of amongst many. Rav Silverstein records the story in the Tuphi Abiyah, but others record it as well. It's a well-recorded story. A man was in Eretz Yisrael. He was actually a Sanz Chosid from Kiryat Sanz. And right before Shabbos, he saw a soldier who was waiting for a bus. So he pulls up and he said, could I give you a ride? So he said, I'm going to Be'er Sheva. Be'er Sheva is all. So there's no way I'm going to Be'er Sheva before Shabbos. But you know something, you're a soldier, you're on leave for Shabbat. He said, yes. He said, well, you know, maybe you want to come and try a Shabbos in Kirtzan. See, my wife is a killer cook. She makes a killer babka. And you'll have a really nice Shabbos. So the soldier was adventurous. And he said, yeah, why not? So he came for Shabbos. Now, it's not like here in America. It's not like here in America that if you're a stranger to religion, you come to shul and you feel like you're useless. They speak the language. So he understands the Hebrew. So he understands the whole Siddur. And it was true, the wife was a killer cook, and she made a killer babka, and the Zmiros were nice. He had a great Shabbos. He had a great Shabbos. After Shabbos, he takes leave of his host. And the host says, "You're just going to walk out like that?" So the man got nervous. He thought that he wanted some money. He says, you didn't tell me I had to pay any. You want some money?" He said, no. But he says, "You just had such a Shabbat of Ruchniyot. You just had such a spiritual Shabbos. You're just going to go back to the base just like that without anything?" He says, "Look, you know the score. I'm not that tea. I don't know, Shabbos was an experience. But, you know, I got my life, man." So he handed him a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, the abridged Shulchan Aruch, the abridged code of laws. He said, "Look, Pata b'lo klum e'efshir. You can't just leave without anything. Here's our laws. Open it up and take something." Novel idea. So he opens it up. He starts leafing it through. No. He gets up to Hilchus Levishus Begundit. The laws of getting dressed in the morning. And he sees, you put on the right shoe, you put on the left shoe, you tie the left shoe, you tie the right. He says, "Yeah, this I can do. This I can do." It's not exactly what the kid Sanz Chassid had in mind, you know. But he says, "Sure, okay, he'll be a Jew with his shoes." Okay. And he was very religious about this. Put on the shoes right, left, tied the left, tied the right, but I mean very religious about it. Okay. One morning, siren went off in the base at 4:30 in the morning, and he jumps onto the tank, and as he's standing on the board there, he realizes in his haste he put on the shoes the wrong way. "So he's right." He says, "No, you know what? I'll take the next tank." He gets off, he bends down, he ties his shoes the right way. He jumps on the next tank. The first tank exploded. It hit a mine and everybody died. He lived. He became religious. His children learn in Kalil. So never say, "Just getting dressed in the morning." Why am I carrying on about this? I'll tell you why. The way we start our morning creates a snowball effect for the rest of the day. It creates an inertia, a kayach, a strength. We have a concept, mitzvah goreres mitzvah. One mitzvah causes, generates another mitzvah. The Mashah, the Sefer HaMakneh, Rav Chaim in the Nefesh HaChaim, they all say the same thing. That when we do a mitzvah, it creates an angel that envelops us and gives us the power to do another mitzvah. A force. If in the morning you utilize your morning correctly, you get up on the Maidani, then you put on the yarmulke, then you wash your hands the right way, and you polish the bust of the king, making yourself nice. Now you gargle a little bit, and your mouth should be clean when you say Hashem's name in davening and brachos. And then you come out, you make reishis chokma on the tils yadayim, asher yotzer, kain neshama, you put on your tzitzis, you make an al mitzvah tzitzis. You put on your clothing the right way. You greet your spouse, "Hi honey, have a wonderful day." And then you leave the bedroom and you notice the mezuzah and maybe you kiss it. Boom! You're ready leaving with a battalion of malachim to greet the day. Sometimes a man walks in the shul on Shabbos and you see he's looking for trouble. Somebody sitting in his makam kavua, in his place where his shtend is. The nerve! You're in my seat! Somebody's using his chumash. I'll give you permission! What happened? He woke up the wrong side of the bed. No, he already had a fight with his wife at home. He's on a roll. You want to be on a roll in a positive way. So you got to make a to-do better list. And the to-do better list, you have to go through the day step by step. Do I notice my tefillin in the morning? Do I talk to Hashem at all when I daven? I have a sefer, it will be available tonight, Power Benching. It's all about benching. Benching is very important. One of the reasons the Chofetz Chaim says that if we bench with kavana, with thought, muftach lo yishiyah parnosa berevach ubekovet kol yomah. You could be confident to have parnosa with plenty and dignity all your life. When I wrote the sefer, I practiced the difference of saying benching, just saying the words, and thinking about the meaning. And the difference was 3 minutes. I call it the 3 minute advantage. Not bad. Parnasa berevach uchavet kol yama. You know, you thought you needed a financial advisor for that. Not bad. So you go through your day. Your business ethics. How much time you give for learning. Are you charitable? Do you smile at people? You go through your day. And whatever you find, you make, you put on your to-do better lists. Upgrades. Now, I should ask the rabbi, when do you want me to speak to him?
What is Maharv is 9:55?
Sure. 9:55? Okay. So is that too late?
Well, that's fine.
We can go to them? Yeah? Okay. So yeah, now you know. You know, it won't be later than 10:50. I go over sometimes, but not much. Anyway, that clock is wrong. I can't tell without the numbers. At the same time in Philadelphia. I have a Talmud. Who was a huge Talmud Chacham, Rav Shmuel David Friedman. He wrote many, many Svarim, Stei Bracha and all of Shas. He was a huge Talmud Chacham, but he's also on the Millionaires Roundtable of New York Life. He's such a good salesman that New York Life sends him. I mean, he's a chassid with a long beard. There's 14 children. He sends them all over the country to teach Goyim how to sell life insurance. This yid with a beard and a big black yarmulke is sent to the south to teach people. And he has an interesting custom. It's a fascinating thing. Wherever he goes, he gets a license in that state to sell life insurance. So if he goes to Topeka, Kansas to give a lecture, he gets a license in Kansas, and he tells the people at the lecture, I have 14 children, I will not leave Kansas before I sell a life insurance policy. Without knowing anybody, without having any connections. You have to know how to ask. It's an art. In the same way, you have to know how to ask Hashem for a better year. There are ways to ask. In the Haggadah Shel Pesach, I don't know if you'll have me back before Pesach, so I really have to think ahead. You know, in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, it says before Manishtana, in every Haggadah, I mean, the new Mesifta Haggadah, 50 Yeshivish Haggadah, every Haggadah, it says, Kana Ben Shoyl, here the son asks. So you'll say, duh. Here the son asks, what do you think? We dip the Morim in the Charosas over here? You think we do here? So the great Hasidic masters of yesteryear said, it means something else. Kan haben shoya. Here is the place to ask for a son. You want a son? Everybody wants a son. Where do you ask? Before Manishtan. Hashem, I want a son to ask the Manishtan. Oh. That's a different type of asking. We have to know how to ask Hashem for something. You say, Hashem, I want a better commute to work. Hashem says, stand on line. I want a better commute to work so I don't have to be so rushed in the morning by Shacharis. I could linger on the words a little bit. Maybe after davening I'll sit and start reviewing the Seder, the Torah portion. That's a different way of asking. Shem, I want marital harmony. Yeah, you want marital harmony. What else do you want? I want marital harmony. I want shalom bayis. Because I want my children, they should see how to behave. So that when they get married, it'll be better for them. Oh, I hear what you're saying. That's a whole different kettle of fish. You know, Hashem, I want a promotion this year. I want to make more money. More money, you know, if I had a penny for everybody that asked me that. Yeah, but Hashem, I want more money because, you know, I would start Daf Yomi if I wouldn't have to take odd jobs. You know, I would get more involved. But I'm always running around for that extra dollar. Give me more money, Hashem. And I'll use the time for this and this. You see what we're doing? We're not just asking. But like the person that asks for a son before Manishtana, we're asking with a reason. That's the way to ask. We have a work cut out for us. You know, the Pasuk says, Tomim tiye im Hashem alikech. You should be whole with Hashem your God. There's a lot of explanations in this. We don't go to soothsayers. Talmidim and Rav Moshe don't go to Kabbalists. We're not going for somebody to read our ksuva or our palm. What's gonna be? We're whole with Hashem. The late Rav Eli Teitelbaum, the magnificent pioneer of Dialedaf, really the pioneer of digital media and phone media. He used to unmask a lot of these people because desperate people go to these people. Reuven Feinstein told me recently that they have a study that it's the people on the lowest level of the economic strata in America that call the 1-900 numbers for psychics. Desperate people. Where Eli Teitelbaum used to tell me, do they have a lottery here in Philadelphia, like a lotto or a Powerball? You have that? Yeah, like six numbers? So Eli Teitelbaum used to tell me that he would go to these guys and he would say to them, listen here, give me six numbers and I'm going to be a fan of you. I just need six numbers. You don't have the six numbers. So, Tomim Tiyem Hashem Alekech. We're whole with God. But what I want to talk to you about is the definition of the Chizkuni. The Chizkuni says, Tomim Tiyem Hashem Alekech. Be shalem with Hashem. Try to achieve perfection with Hashem, which means try to do mitzvahs with more perfection. And I found a Rabbeinu Yoina, if you want to look at it, it's on the first Mishnah and the second Perek of Pirkei Avos. Rabbeinu Yoina quotes a statement of our rabbis, which I haven't seen quoted too often, but it's magnificent. He says, "Kol oisa mitzvah kemamora." Whoever does a mitzvah the way it was meant to be done, even a decree of 70 years will be cancelled. It's a remarkable thing. So we should achieve to do our mitzvahs with more perfection. Bigger mitzvah. Bigger mitzvah. Any mitzvah. The women should give attention to the mezuzah. Give attention to the mezuzah. You know, at the end of Kriya Shema, the end of the second paragraph of Kriya Shema, there's the big three. Nah, 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 nah. You don't have two of the three. It's tefillin, teaching the children Torah, and then uchsavtam al mezuzas beisecha v'sherecha. Mezuzah. And then it says, "Man, you, but you make him, we may have longevity." Well, you don't have tefillin. You have tefillin, but you have the mezuzah. So you for sure should really pay attention to the mezuzah. We should also, after all, it's Arichas Yamim. Our grandson, one of our grandchildren, recently was having a phase, 4 and a half, on its feet. Having a phase, he was worried about a robber. They don't have television or anything, so I don't know where he got onto the robber kick. He must have heard it from one of the friends in school. But, so he talked to me about it. I told him, "Aaron Tzvi, you have a mezuzah, what are you worried about?" He said, "Yeah, I have a mezuzah." It says on the mezuzah, it says, "Shin Dalad Yud, it's Hashem's name, it stands for Shomer Dalsus Yisrael, Hashem is protecting you." But how do you get serious with the mezuzah? So I don't know, in Philadelphia, again, you see, I don't know, in Philadelphia, do they sell Parker pens? Well, that's not really... When I don't even have one anymore, but in my day, I like the rollerballs now, but in my day, everybody knew it was a Parker pen because it had the arrow, right? The distinctive arrow, right? You know it's a Cadillac from the emblem, right? The mezuzah has a subliminal message. You have to train yourself. It's calling out to you. Hashem is watching you! Hashem is watching you. So you work on a mezuzah. You can't work on all the mezuzahs. Forget about it. Can't work on all them. Pick a mezuzah. So you pick the kitchen mezuzah. So that when you go in the kitchen, you think, "Oh, you passed the mezuzah, kiss it, okay, that's a fringe benefit." You pass the mezuzah, you say, "Hashem is watching me. Am I careful with the meat and milk? Do I know that everything is kosher, or I'm only doing it because everybody else is using it? Do I know this is allowed on Shabbos? When I'm preparing food, am I thinking about my husband? What he likes? I'm giving the children the proper snack?" Mezuzah. It's a mezuzah power. There's a sweet story from Rav Miller. Sweet story. Rav Miller says that a wife tells her husband, "You know, we're always late to chasanos. We're always late. And this is my best friend. She asked me to help gather the people for pictures. I want to leave. We should get there early. Can we leave at 5 o'clock? 5:15, 5:30, 5:45. 5 to 6, she's waiting in her gown already for an hour. Steam is coming out from her ears and her nose. She's going to let him have it. But she's worked on mezuzah. She passes the bedroom mezuzah. God is angry at him, I don't care. She passes the hallway mezuzah, the living room mezuzah, the dining room mezuzah. By the time she gets to the front door, she saw already God is watching her 4 times. She calmed down. Just get ready. You'll tell me later why you're late." That's mezuzah power. But that takes training. Hashem likes it when we try to make a mitzvah more perfect. Many of the Gedolim, most recently the Gedolei Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, have championed the saying of Asher Yotza when we come out of the bathroom. Now that should go on a to-do better list. as we grow older, we don't want anything happening, chas v'shalom, to our pancreas, especially not the pancreas, to our kidneys, to our hearts. So we have a bracha. Unfortunately, people don't think about their hearts until they feel it. When you feel it, you're in trouble. Ashiyotzer is a time to reflect. And it's, again, a way to show appreciation. Don't say Ashiyotzer while you're booting your computer. Don't say Ashiyotzer while you're mixing a coffee. Definitely don't say Ashiyotzer while you're diapering the baby. Don't say Ashiyotzer when you're filling gas in the car. Give Ashiyotzer a moment. It's such a glorious brach. You know, do they have Pashkas out here? I don't know. All I know is from Philly steaks, you know. Okay. So you take a bar of Pashkas chocolate. Right? You make a shahal, you hold it in your right hand. You make a shahakal. You put it in your mouth, and then imagine if you would have to start sending out commands. Activate the peristalsis to take the first of all. Activate the tongue and the teeth to crunch it up. Now activate the peristalsis to bring it down to the esophagus. Oh, hurry up! We need amino acids to the big toe, and I need some carbohydrates in the right lobe of the ear. Okay, activate the 150 enzymes to break down the food. Oh, 1 second, excrete the poisons. Select the poisons out of the chocolate. Send it to the excretory system before it harms the. If you would have to do that, forget about the chocolate bar. Give me a hole in my shoulder, pump it in. Go to the gas station and finish. Truth of the matter is I have no clue. No clue. I'm not a chemist. I have no clue what part of the Pashkas is poisonous to my body. I have no clue. But I don't have to. I don't know what's an amino acid and what's a carbohydrate. I know a little bit, but I have no idea the names of the over 150 enzymes. I have no clue what the lobe of my liver needs. But it's all done automatically. Mafli lasois! It's amazing! There's all kinds of pshatim in mafli lasois that we're full of air, our neshama. A balloon that's full of air, if it has a hole, it goes. We're full of holes, and yet the air doesn't go out. But this is simple pshat and mafli lasses. It's wondrous. It's wondrous that all of this is done without my knowledge. I have another thought when I say mafli lasses. It's wondrous, Hashem, you're helping me, although I don't deserve it. Rifei Kol Basar, you're healing me by getting rid of the poisons. But in this bracha we say, and we say this bracha, the average person says this bracha 5 times a day at least. As we go older, we say it more. The average person says it 5 times a day. At least 4 times. So you rotate. Say, Varavoy Nikavim Nikavim openings, Kalulim Kalulim hallows. Different Ashiyotzes, you think about different openings. The nose. So you'll say the nose. Yeah. If your nose is stuffed in the night, it's so annoying to try to sleep with your mouth open, it's a pain in the neck. The ears, to be able to hear. The eyes. The mouth. The other orifices. Person that needs a catheter, it's so painful. Nikavim, nikavim! And then the chalulim, chalulim, the hollow organs. The heart, the brain, the liver, the cleansing agent of the body, the pancreas. The kidneys. Say kidney stone is more painful than, excuse me, labor and delivery. Shem Yifaseh!
chachat mehem. If that which is closed should open, God forbid, it's a hemorrhage, an aneurysm, God forbid. Oh, yisosei me'echad mehem, if something should seal with a tumor, rachman al-etzlan, a cyst, a blockage, a mess, yevshem l'skayim al-amal l'fanech, afilu sho'echos, we wouldn't be able to exist even an hour. The worry would kill us. Baruch atah Hashem, thank you Hashem. That's an ashiyatzen. That goes on a to-do better list. That makes a difference. Hashem, I'm going to do it. You know, just that alone. You know what an upgrade that is? Figure it out. 5 a day. 365 days. 354 days. Hashem, you know what? Of the 1,500, I'm going to try to make 500 with more. Come on. You don't think big. I'm trying to make 500. You want to go 250? You're from Philly? Okay. 250. 250, it's fine. Maybe from your Philly, not so busy, maybe you make 750. Whatever. But that's the way to get ready for Rosh Hashanah. We have 5 more minutes left on Philadelphia time. Try to make the 5 minutes worthy. By the way, I haven't been here ever before, so I have a little bit of a selection here of stuff in the back afterwards. If anybody wants one of my svarim, I could sign it for them. There is pow benching. I only have soft covered left. The hard covers were sold out, Baruch Hashem. The soft cover, it's 312 pages on benching. It's $20, and I'll sign it for you if you want. I have a sefer on the Yom Naron, which is good for the whole year. It's called Rabbi Moshe Weiss on the Yom Naron, not very original. But it contains, the first part is called 40 Days, 40 Ways. And it's a course of character development, a different idea for, it's supposed to be used from Rosh Chodesh Elul until Yom Kippur, which is 40 days, but you can use it any 40 days you pick. And so that's that safer. And then there's my other svarim there. You'll see some of my other svarim. And what just came out now, it came out actually last week. It was done in-house, so to be ready for the Yom Naram. It's 8 CDs about tshuva and asayisimei tshuva and the Yom Naram, and it's 8 CDs and a beautiful album for $30. So that's brand new. There are CDs there. This actually, did we find the Ergun? Yeah, huh? The question and answers. What? Then it should be there. It's not there? Yeah, probably it is. I just gave in 8 cities through a Ergun Shiurei Torah, a question and answer share, which there are separate CDs over there. And finally, if you want to become a Talmud, you can subscribe and get a CD every week. My wife and I have been doing that for the last 30 years, sending out a CD every week, and that way you develop a connection. And so there are forms for that as well. I just used up most of the 5 minutes, which is pretty silly of me. So I'm gonna go 2-3 minutes into the. You'll send me a summons. P.O. Box 140726. I really was remiss. I wanted to dedicate the share. We lost an 18-year-old girl in Staten Island this week. She was sick for 4 years, very sick, a very holy girl. I wanted to mention her, so before the last comments, you know, learn Le'ilu Nishmas, Kelarus Bas Bunim Tuvia. Her Heiliger Neshama should have an Aliyah. And in Lefu Shleima for Shapsi Ben Shifra. We're going to be doing a lot of asking for the next 2 weeks. I mean, a lot of asking. We're going to be to the crescendo of Chasmeinu L'chaim Tov, and we're going to do a lot of asking. We have to get ready to ask. We have a rule. Ein kateger nasa sanega. The prosecutor cannot become the defender. That's why we don't have a shofar of gold, because it remembers the Egel Azov. My Baal Tekeh takes off his gold watch. If our mouth yells at a spouse or speaks Lashon Hara, Chas v'shalom, unclean words, if we hurt somebody's feelings with our mouth, how do we expect to be able to ask for things with that mouth? It's a trifle mouth! Hashem hears the mouth and goes, ugh! So in preparation for asking, we got to kasher our mouths. Not by burning it. Although the Shach HaLaTorah says that's why Moshe Rabbeinu had to put the coals in his mouth in Bilam's test to kasher his mouth for when he put his mouth on the Mitzrim when they tried to nurse him. But you don't have to kasher your mouth with coals. Don't leave it like that. We kasher our mouths by saying, you know what, I'm going to speak gently. I'm not going to hurt people's feelings. I'm going to be more sensitive, and I'm not going to talk about people. I have to tell you something. There's a famous story from the Chofetz Chaim. It's a legendary story. Chofetz Chaim said that there was a man who, we'll call him Yankele. Yankele passed away at 86 years old, and he came up to the Yeshiva Shalmaiva, to the Beis Din, and Hashem said, Yankele, we're going to judge you now. This is the way it works. It's not rocket science. Every time you do a mitzvah, you create a white malach. That's the way it works. Every time you do a mitzvah, you create a white malach. Every time you do a naveira, you create a black malach. So what we're going to do is we're going to count the angels. That's all. If you have more white malachim than black malach, then if not, it's not good. Okay? It says, we in Shemayim, we look at the good first. So we're going to look to see. And, you know, he lived many years. He had a lot of good. He went to Davin. He put money in the Pushka. He said an occasional Amen. He had a lot of white malachim. Hundreds of thousands of white malachim. It looked good. It was wonderful. Wunderbar. And Hashem, who didn't look impressed, but Yankele didn't notice that. So let's see the other side of the story. It sounded like an avalanche, like an explosion. Boom! Millions of black malachim. Every time he yelled at his spouse, every time he could have learned Torah, he didn't learn Torah. Oh, yeah. And he feels the fires of Gehenna licking up his feces, pale, he's perspiring. All of a sudden, a huge white malach walks into the courtroom, hands the Rabbi Shalom a telegram. It's only for dramatization. But the Chofetz Chaim dramatizes. I don't know if you remember what a telegram is. Hands the Rabbi Shalom a telegram. Rabbi Shalom opens it up, turns to the millions of black malachim, and says, "Dismissed! You're all dismissed!" And they vanish like a puff of smoke. Yankele is smiling again. Goes to Rabbi Shalom. Says, "Rabbi Shalom, don't get me wrong. I'm not complaining. What did he say? What did he say?" So the angel said that in this court, everything is done measure for measure. Mida, can I get mida? Well, this malach said that you didn't listen to bad about other people. When people would come and say, "You miss shoulder shots, you want to hear what happened?" You know what? I got my own problems. You hear what happened? You hear the councils and the kibbutz? You know what? I'm not interested. You didn't listen to bad about other people. You didn't listen to bad about other people. We don't listen to bad about you. What a defense to teach the children. Don't listen to bad about other people. And finally, the best defense for another year is to make ourselves needed. Hashem doesn't take away people that are needed. Unless it's their kids, that's a different story. If it's their time, Shmuel HaNavi was needed, David HaMelech was needed, they passed, Shlomo HaMelech was needed, Shlomo HaMelech and Shmuel passed away at 52. Rabbi Bun and Yerushalmi passed away at 26. But if it's not a person's time, you make yourself needed, it's the biggest defense. Like the Ochas Chaim of Muniel says, Harotzela harich yomim! If you want to live long, having marba b'achim v'rei. Have many brothers and friends. Make yourself needed. And the place we're the most needed is the way we behave with our spouse. Because if we're good with our spouse doesn't deserve to lose us. We're a set. And with our children, because we are biologically made, genetically designed for the benefit of our children. So if we're there for our spouse and our children, that's an incredible defense. Once again, I want to say how honored I am to have been invited to come here. I hope that we shouldn't be a stranger. I don't want to wait another 35 years to come back. Thank Rabbi Bieberfeld, Rabbi Zephron, and all of you for coming, and B'Shem, the Rosh Kailo, and everyone here. I want to wish to all of us that this should be a year for us of good health, knowing that we're healthy, parnasa berevach ubekavod, nachas, shiduchin, children, hatzlachin ruchnias and gashmias, and the bias gil tzedek v'mherav yameinu. Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.